world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
No, I didn't watch 1 second of the State of the Union. Not 1 second. Because the State of the Union is broken. Broken. And it's all a game. It's all a facade. And I asked my wife this morning as I was getting ready to come down to my multi-million dollar studio, honey, should I talk about it again today? Should I change subjects? We went through that whole thing yesterday, which I thought was really, really a great show on what dispensationalism is. And we went through all that stuff. And sometimes I feel like, Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. And sometimes, you guys out there, anybody feel like you're fighting? We're fighting in our own team. We're fighting our own team. And we're fighting our own team over theology. Theology. I didn't watch the State of the Union, not 1 second of it last night. Can somebody tell me where, when, and how did America become two teams? Two teams. Republican team and the Democrat team. And I believe it's on purpose. I believe it's on purpose because I believe there's a higher, darker power at work. And the only answer to that higher, darker power is the whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Sons of God. Somebody out there, help me out. I'm gonna vent here a second. I'm gonna open it up. Okay. I want to hear what's on your heart here today. I don't want to tell you what I think. Although I got some good stuff. Some good stuff. Why can't the church end abortion? Why can't the church end the indoctrination of our children in transgenderism and homosexuality? Why can't the church end that? Why can't the church end government fraud in Minnesota, Columbus, Ohio, and every place else across? Why can't the church end the corruption in all of our money going to Ukraine? I know why. They don't want to get involved. Well, it's even worse than that. They don't agree. They don't agree. And the scripture says, can two walk together lest they agree? Now, as a football coach, I understand teams. I understand you don't win with individuals. I understand that you don't get in the huddle and have three different agendas. It don't work. And do we have Team America or not? We have Team America or not? And what we have got to come to realize, number one, let me lay this out here pretty clear. Number one, the money is fraudulent. They print money. Did you hear me? They print money. Money is meaningless, except for me and you. It's not meaningless for me and you because it controls everything we do. Because why? Most of us we're in a constant state of lack. Somebody say amen. That's by design, by the way.
Amen.
Constant
amen.
State of lack. And the elected officials that we put into office are getting rich on the backs of American taxpayers. Printed fake money. Money means nothing to the government. It means everything to me and you. It's a control grid. Okay? So we're looking last night. We looked last night at the State of the Union, which I did not watch not 1 second of it because it's just a show. It's just a show. Do you guys realize this? that the State of the Union address is required by law. That every year, the president has to come to the Congress in January and give us a State of the Union. A State of the Union. In other words, a condition of our government. That's what State of the Union means. He's going to give us a report on the condition of our government. And one political party doesn't even come. Now, what would they do if Trump said, hey, I ain't giving it this year. I'm not giving the State of the Union this year. What the hell would the Democrats do then? Hey, folks, look, it ain't Democrat Republican, okay? It ain't them. But it's the Democrats that didn't show up last night. So that's why I use that term. What if Trump said, no, I'm not giving one this year? Can you imagine how they would scream and holler and yell, and yet when he gives one, they don't show up? It's all a game. Now, I'm going to connect something here real quick. Pull up for me, Spencer. I want to hear from you guys, by the way. I got some good stuff I want to plant real quick before we do. Pull up for me a picture of demonic hierarchy. We don't understand this. I showed this yesterday. This is the other team, folks. This is the other team. Now, listen. This team, for the most part, is controlling American government. Why? Because most people who run for elected office are not honest Christian men. And I don't know about you. If you're not an honest Christian man, are you going to do the right thing? Are you going to do the right thing? No. So they get, you know, I did see this, just a clip of this. Trump called out Nancy Pelosi last night because she became a multi-millionaire while in Congress. Folks, how does that happen? How does that happen? So here is the hierarchy of the dark side. And if I showed it yesterday, look, scripture says that evil men have crept in unawares. They change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. There it is. Satan, Baal. Somebody's always pulling the chains. This is the hierarchy of the demonic. Baal, God, devil, the devil. And he's got control of the Rothschilds, king, the royal family, and the Rockefellers. And through money and influence, the Rothschilds and the royal family fund the Zionists, the Vatican, and the Freemasons. And then the Freemasons, call that whatever you want to. I mean, you don't have to believe in it. Kings of this earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. My friends, listen. Freemasons aren't Christians. They're not Christians. They have a form of godliness. But they take oath to the dark side, all right? So then the Zionists and the Vatican and the Freemasons, they control the world leaders. Do you think Nancy Pelosi's doing her bidding for you? Do you think she's really concerned about what's best for the average American citizen? Of course not. Of course not. It's a facade. Ask yourself this question. How come Nancy Pelosi remained the leader of the Democrat? How long? Did nobody somewhere along the line said, hey, I think maybe we need to change coaches here. Maybe we need to get a different front man here. We need well, we can't because there's a hierarchy. There's a demonic hierarchy. And the money funnels down to the world leaders. There they all are pulling the strings. And then they support actors and singers and sports stars and media. And then they scroll down a little bit, Spencer. And there we are sitting in front of our TVs being manipulated by it. And the only opposition to any of that we're looking at is the church. And what does the church say? We're not going to mix religion and politics. We're not going to get involved. And the American church cannot come to agreement on whether or not murdering an unborn baby is okay with God. The American church, folks, in a nation of Christians, how can abortion possibly be legal? In a nation of Christians. In a nation of Christians, how can transgenderism be taught to our children? In a nation of Christians. In a nation of Christians, how can we steal money from the hardworking American guy and send it to foreign countries? I know how. Church doesn't want to get involved. Think with me here a second. Is there any issue? Hey, Spencer, pull this up for me real quick. What percentage of Americans are Christian? See, let's just see here a minute. Say, Coach, you talk about this stuff all the time. Yes, because everything else is a distraction. Approximately 62 to 69% of Americans are Christian. How can we possibly allow the devil to run everything? 40 to 45% of them are Protestants or other non-Catholics. 19 to 22% identify as Catholics. The Catholic Church used to be the pro-life movement. Voting Democrat. Divide and conquer, the oldest trick in the book. Click on that word, show more, Spencer. Click on the show more there. Other religious nuns, about 27 to 29% of Americans are religiously unaffiliated. That'd be me. I'm religiously unaffiliated. Proudly religiously unaffiliated. By the way, look at that. That's 30% of us. And 6 or 7% identify with non-Christian faiths, Buddhist, Muslim, whatever. The Christian population is older. 80% of the adults can identify as a Christian compared to 46% of the young adults. So in other words, we haven't done a very good job of Psalm 78, have we? Spencer, pull that up quickly. Psalm 78. I hear you, Michelle. Same thing every day. I know they don't get it. They still don't get it. Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have known, heard, and known, and our fathers told us, and we will not hide those things from our children. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he have done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel. And he commanded American daddies to teach it to their children. Why? So the generation to come might know him. And even the children should be born, that they would arise and teach it to their children. A spiritual tag team handoff to our kids. That they might set their hopes in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be like their daddies, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children at Ephraim and the Christians in America, being armed and carrying all kinds of weapons, decided they weren't going to get engaged. They kept not the covenant of God. They didn't walk in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous thing he did in the sight of their dads in the land of America. We didn't teach it to our kids. In fact, we fund the school system to not teach it to our kids. Paul, am I doing okay here? I'm doing okay. Trying to show us exactly what's going on. The State of the Union last night was just, I didn't watch it. It's all just made up. Huh? It's all made up. Pull up number one, Spencer. Show you some things. I'm going to open it up for you. Number one, breaking news. Ukrainian officials released the kickback numbers that they gave to U.S. politicians. The fake dollars that we gave to Ukraine, 92 million of it came back to Joe Biden. $89 million came back to Mitch McConnell. Nancy Pelosi pocketed $86 million. By the way, Trump called her out last night. Did you know that? He publicly called her out, getting rich off the American people. Chuck Schumer at $66 million. Lindsey Graham's made $82 million. Mitt Romney, they're all on there. Money ain't real. They don't care about money. They're career gangsters, government gangsters. Oh, really? Pull up number four. Government gangsters. The deep state, the truth, and the battle for our democracy. See, the deep state is not Republican or Democrat. It's both, folks. It's both. Government Gangsters is a book written by Kash Patel, scathing critique of what the author describes as the deep state. Want to know who the deep state is? Huh? Well, let's go to number five then. Because Kash Patel named the deep state. Government Gangsters. This is in 2024. President-elect Trump's pick for FBI director, Kash Patel, ran a detailed compilation of perceived deep state adversaries. Okay, scroll down. Who are they? Who are these 60 deep state? Well, there you go. His list covers, folks, these are the kings of the earth that Psalm 2 talks about. Here they are. His list covers from both sides of the political aisle. Michael Atkinson, I don't know who he is. Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense. Brian Alton, James Baker. We don't even know some of these guys. Number five, Bill Barr. Number six, John Bolton. Number seven, Stephen, former chief of legislative affairs, FBI. Joe Biden, John Brennan, James Clapper. He names them. James Comey, Kash Patel named the deep state. There they are. Elected, appointed, career government officials. No matter who you vote for. They're on both sides of the aisle. There's only one side of the aisle. 23, Kamala Harris, Gina Haspel, Eric Holder. Wow. Lois Lerner, are you kidding me? Wow, who else down there? Robert Mueller, Lisa Page, really? John Podesta, Adam Schiff, Sally Yates. Folks, this isn't Republican Democrat. It's seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman refuses to engage. I'm going to open it up here in a second. I got to get this off my own chest. Hey, Spencer, do the women's hockey team didn't even show up. The women's hockey team didn't even come to be honored. Pull up number seven. This ought to make you real proud. Elected official. Muslim. I think she's a Muslim. I don't know. Look at her badge. Look at her badge. This is an elected official. Huh? Can anybody see F-U-C-K ICE? Hey, folks. This ain't politics. This is demonic. This is demonic. And I would say this. If America was run properly, according to our forefathers, you would have to be Christian to serve in government. Oh, you know that's the way it started out, right? You know that's the way that it started out. And now our entire government is infiltrated by Luciferians. Wait a minute. You say, oh, coach, you're not serving the devil. Yes, they are. You either serve the Lord or you serve the devil. I mean, that you can call it all kinds. You can make it whatever name you want to make it. You can call it Buddhist. You can call it Muslim. You can call it whatever you want to. There's only one God, one true God. And they told us there's a separation between the church and state, which was a lie. And they let these people get in power.
Boom, coach.
I'm all over today, whether you like it or not. So President Trump said, get ready for number six, Spencer. President Trump said last night, I'm quoting it, President Trump, quote, the first order of government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens. Stand up if you believe that. And not one Democrat stood. Now, this is not the Donald Trump Adoration Society. But the devil can't cast out the devil. And the truth of it is, it's Trump or Kamala. It's Trump or Biden. It's Trump or Talita, whatever her name is. It's Christianity or the devil. Anybody disagree with me? Does anybody out there disagree with me? So let me ask this question. Where in the hell are the churches? Sitting in the churches are Republicans and Democrats sitting beside each other. Can somebody tell me how that can possibly be? Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And we have Christians, who are, let's say you don't like Trump. You don't like Trump. I don't trust him. Go down. Okay, which team are you on? There ain't no middle ground. That's what they've convinced you of. That's why the Christian vote is divided. Because we all have our own issues. I got in an argument with a guy the other day because I supported Trump. I said, dude, you better understand this. The Bible says that God raises up kings. Donald Trump is president of the United States because God gave him to us for the good or for the bad. But he is God's man. Anybody want to argue that?
Boom.
Well, not whether you support him or not. He's God's man. How do I know that? Because the Bible says he raises them up. He raises them up. Pull up number three real quick. Then I'm going to open it up. Oh, no. Hang on. Let's do number two. Don't ever forget, folks. Don't ever forget. When was COVID? Paul, was it 19? Didn't they call it COVID-19 because it was in 2019? I think so. And it went through 19 and 20 and 21. And we dealt with it for a long time, didn't we? For a long time, and we tend to forget. So I'm here to remind you. Are you ready? The demonically owned and controlled media gave us this. Go ahead.
Vaccinated. You are the problem. It is the unvaccinated who are the problem.
True. Maybe they should be shamed, but the unvaccinated.
It's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks.
We can't trust the unvaccinated.
The unvaccinated, a group that includes children and people acting like children.
When are we going to stop putting up with the idiots in this country and just say, you now, it's mandatory to get vaccinated?
Oh, you can't shame them. You can't call them stupid. You can't call them silly. Yes, they are.
Those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price.
The unvaccinated should be taxed. They should pay more for health care.
We need to start looking at the choice to remain unvaccinated the same as we look at driving while intoxicated.
Really, the only people dying are the unvaccinated. And for those of you spreading misinformation, shame on you.
We've got to shun folks. We've got to shun people into
getting... We need to shun those that refuse to get vaccinated.
The unvaccinated people have put us in the position that we're in now, and it is not a good place.
You got to start telling people, if you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this office or this place of business. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come to work.
No, screw your freedom.
Freedom is a fragile thing, and it's never more than one generation away from extinction.
The man... come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
The same people that are protesting ICE are the ones that were calling you a grandmother killer and that you were the problem because you weren't vaccinated, etc., etc., etc. These people
okay,
are...
Hold it. It's a PSYOP. It's a government PSYOP, folks. It's a government PSYOP.
Boom.
And they've been so effective at it that they've done the divide and conquer of Christianity? Yes or no? Pastors think it's noble to not talk about politics from the pulpit. In other words, let you come up with your own idea. Vote for whoever you think. They'll tell you everything about the gospel and the rules you got to follow and the tithing and all that stuff. But government now, they're not. Friends, we are right now in the crucible of the most demonic attack in maybe the history of the world, masquerading as an angel of light. And Christians can't even see the difference. They can't even see. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You turn on your TV and they are giving you lies. They're giving you lies. Come on in, Adam.
Hey, good morning, Coach. I think that there's a twofold problem with the church. Number one, the church doesn't understand who they are and what kingdom that they are residents in.
Dude, they don't even know they're supposed to be expanding a kingdom. It's personal Christianity. Right, right.
Yeah, they're working for a future kingdom instead of working for the kingdom that Jesus says is here and is now.
Already
and
came.
At the same time, and I know this is going to ruffle feathers, but at the same time, 50% of the church is an idolatry to a Christ-rejecting, Christ-hating nation of Israel. And so how can the church be effective when they're essentially supporting the synagogue of Satan?
Well, Adam said that, don't send me emails. Adam is saying that our government is supporting a non-Christian government. You do know that, right? That's a non-Christian government in Israel. They don't believe in Jesus. Craig.
Hey, Spencer, can you pull up that last link I put in there?
By the way, they do believe in Jesus. They believe in him. And they believe he should be cooked in a bath of oil, boiling oil. That's what they think. Go ahead. Go ahead, Craig.
Okay, so I just want you to notice the dates here. September 26th, I think, through the 30th, during the Kavanaugh hearings. And this was, you know, for the Supreme Court that would eventually overturn Roe Wade. A replica of the Archway of Baal was placed on the National Mall. Okay. So we are in a spiritual war. You know, the way that God's moving, if you're not looking for it, you're not going to see it. But 7 years later, on October 10th, and maybe you can pull this up, it was Communion America. On the mall, and Dave and Sherry and I went down, and there was a mile-long table on October 10th and 11th of 2025 of Christians having communion on the very mall where this arch of Baalway was. Okay, that's how God works these things out. 7 years later, he says, well, we're not done yet. And the other thing that's getting ready to happen this year is come around the table, which is September 24th through 26th, where they're having people all across this nation in different communities are going to be setting up tents out in the public in their local cities and colleges and towns, sharing communion with the public. Now, what's so important about September 26th about all this stuff here, Coach? Well, in 2022, on September 26th, we went and we asked for a calling to the people, a movement of the Holy Spirit.
We did. That's
from,
right.
From the time that archway and ball, which we didn't really put this together at the time, September 26th in 2018, all these things are going on in the spirit realm. And it is, as Joe Biden says, we are fighting for the soul of our nation. And which God are we going to choose? We are literally, as a people and a nation, at Elijah moment. Elijah went to Mount Carmel, and he put down two fires. One was for Baal, and one was for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who later the seed of Jesus Christ of Nazareth would come through. And he has given us grace to pick which campfire you want to sit next to, because the fire of God is getting ready to strike. And which campfire you decide to sit next to is going to be your destiny.
A house divided against itself cannot stand. Spencer, real quickly, how many denominations? People don't believe this, okay? I just want you to know this again. How many denominations are there? Christian denominations. 45,000. You guys see that? There are over 45,000 Christian denominations. 45,000 Christian denominations. I'll say that again. Not churches. Not churches. 45,000. And one devil. And that devil is eating the lunch of Christians, because the oldest trick in the book is divide and conquer. Right there in front of you.
Boom.
Christian churches can't even agree whether or not murdering babies is okay. Christian churches. Christians. Christians. Pro-choice Christians. Never heard of anything more contradictory in my life. I'm a pro-abortion Christian. Oh, no. I'm a pro-gay Christian. Unbelievable. Dr. Paul.
You know, Coach, I've been saying that since the very beginning. If you took all those denominations, is there anything that they all agree on? Have you ever thought of that? Is there anything that they all agree on? Other than maybe Christ existed, right? I have no idea.
They certainly don't agree on who he was, do they, Paul? They don't agree on that. Well, they don't agree on his nature.
Innocent. Absolutely, Coach. So I don't know. But
why is it?
Because I grew up and it makes me comfortable. Okay. But I also go to a Baptist church. And I also talk to people. And I don't care. I mean, if they're Muslim and they don't want to kill me, I'm okay with that, you know? But, you know, if you're going to kill innocent blood, if you're going to destroy innocent blood, there is no, in my mind, I can't fathom how anybody but an evil person would think that was okay. And it's sad, Coach, but we're in for some labor pains, Coach. I can feel it coming.
I'm telling you. And I didn't watch the State of the Union last night. And I'm going to say this again. Trump is a wrecking ball. Whether it's good or not, I don't know. He freaking called them out last night. And here's the thing. See, look, folks. You can't miss it. He called out both sides. Some of the Republicans hate him. Understand? He's exposing all of this for us to see. He may not even understand it. But he said, boy, this will get him in some trouble. He wants to make America great again. He wants American money to go to America, not to foreign countries and foreign wars. And when the money goes to foreign countries and foreign wars, it ends up back in the pockets of Nancy Pelosi and her ilk. Do you get it yet? AIPAC owns the politicians in America. Now, you may think that's a good thing. All right, so you're pro-Israel. Okay, you think that's a good thing that Israel would own America? You think that's a good thing? I want America first. I don't want Israel first. Just me. That's just me. And you would agree with me, right? That they're Israel first. They're not America first. Go on, Randy. Crank your hand still up. I'll get back to you.
Well, how come Trump didn't talk about AIPAC, Coach?
Well, doesn't he? Huh? Because he knows how damn powerful they are. And they got their hand in his pocket, too.
God let Rome spank Israel, okay? He annihilated them, but then he came back and spanked Rome too. So, you know, if Trump's the wrecking bar and he wrecks the D's, okay, then we got one party. Wreck that party, Coach.
We got one party. That's right.
Okay, well, that's my point. So if a house divided against itself can't stand, we got a uniparty. We don't have a divided house, Coach.
That's
we
true.
Just have a show. We have a show. So here's my point, Coach. The mandate that Jesus gave us, it's the kingdom of God. That's what we're promoting. And to me, I mean, I'm not going to be I'm not a Republican. I'm not anything. I am political, but I'm none of that.
Yeah, me too, brother.
So I'm a Christian. I'm going to push the kingdom of God and the politics of what comes with that, which is, you know, the lordship of Christ and everything underneath that. So that should be our dominion mandate. We should divide and conquer, Coach, but we should do it with love. Absolutely. But we should divide and conquer just like they are. And that's the reason they're winning, is because the church will not take dominion and divide and conquer evil. It won't. It accepts it. So it's never happened until the church sees who they are in Christ and has a dominion-minded mandate and becomes the offensive church. It's never going to happen until then.
Randy, I'm going to ask a question right now that's going to make some of you mad, and I don't care. You've got to shake your head. Your eyes are stuck. Is an unsaved Jew going to heaven? Is an unsaved Jew a righteous man?
No.
Is an unsaved Christian a righteous man? Why do we, and I'm telling you, it's like a delusion. Oh, really? 2 Thessalonians. Pull that up for me, Spencer. 2 Thessalonians. Going to lose some friends today, probably. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think it is, Spencer. Now, we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, you and me, be not so soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. And it was at hand back then when he wrote Thessalonians. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Folks, is this a future Antichrist, or was Jesus telling the Thessalonians at the time, you better watch out because they're going to oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God, all that is worshiped, so that he as God, not a real God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember not that I told you that when I was with you guys? You guys remember that? And the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Scroll down, isn't that what it says? That you will know withhold it, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work. It was back then. The deception was already at work. Only he who now let. What does the word now? Hey, Paul, hang on. You seem to be a learned man. What does the word now mean?
You put me on the spot, but I'm sure that God views now as everything. There's
now.
No such thing as
now. It's raining now. If it's not now, it's tomorrow or yesterday or in a while. Now.
I'm not such a learned man, Coach.
And the mystery of it, where that Spencer says now means at the present time, at once, immediately, in the immediate past, very recently. Go back, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. When? Now. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because what? They received not the love of the truth. Hang on! What? The nows received not the love of the truth. The nows didn't receive the love of the truth. Now. Then. Because they didn't receive the love of the truth, the nows, then God sends them a strong delusion. They believe a lie. God said, okay, you're not going to do what I tell you to do. You're not going to believe what I tell you. Here you go, baby. Here you go. Transgenderism, homosex, abortion. Here you go, baby. And for this cause, God sends the strong delusion. Hey, Spence, what's a delusion? Delusion. I hope I'm making some of you nervous. It's a delusion. The act of deception. It's misleading of the mind. False representation. Illusion. Error or mistake proceeding from false views. We believe a lot of stuff that's not true. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If you're going to a church that's accepting homosexuality, you're doomed. You know what it says? Damned. You're damned. You don't believe the truth. You have pleasure in unrighteousness. By the way, isn't righteousness revealed through behavior? And we have Christians who support homosexuals when the Bible clearly says it's an abomination. But a lot of people don't believe it, so let's start a new denomination. We only got 46,000 of them. Let's start a new one. And all that does is take the Bible, Word of God, and shape it to whatever desire you have and make the Bible approve of what you're doing. That's all it is. Come on, Craig. Hey, are you guys mad at me? I'm just asking damn questions. Where's the church? Where is the church? They're stealing us blind in Washington, D.C. And we think the Republicans are good and the Democrats are bad. Are the Republicans stealing us? Hey, Spencer, real quickly. I don't know. Who are the richest U.S. senators? See if that'll show us. There are 8 senators worth $50 million or more. Go back to that segment, Spin. Okay, go ahead. Look, 8 senators worth $50 million or more. 8 senators worth $50 million. Public servants. Jim Justice of Virginia. Go ahead. Rick Scott of Florida, worth $50 million. Senator David McCormick of Pennsylvania, this might be old. Tim Shee of Montana, worth $60 million. Burke Warner. By the way, both sides of the aisle. I think these are old. Blumenthal. Bernie Marino. Oh, this is not old. Bernie Marino of Ohio is worth $50 million. I wonder if I could run for Senate and beat Bernie when he's worth $50 million. Interesting, huh? Hey, Spence, how many U.S. representatives are millionaires? Follow the money, right? Follow the money. Okay, here they are. Rich, who's the richest ones? Who are the richest? How do you get rich being a public servant? I should have this up for you. Well, this is Congress, so he's a senator. $50 million, they're worth $50 million, and they want you to believe they're representing you. Nancy Pelosi's representing you. Really? There they are, huh? Shreve, $599 million. I don't even know who the guy is. Daryl Issa, 234 million. Pelosi, how did Pelosi get worth $267 million serving in Congress? Vern Buchanan, I don't even know who he is, $250 million. David Goldman, $184 million. They got your back. They got your back. God help us. Come on, Craig, come on in. I'm all over the way, huh? I'm all over the place. Wake the hell up. Wake the hell up. Go ahead, Craig.
Look, can I get back to what Paul was saying earlier and what I was bringing up? Spencer, can you, that last link, awaken the dawn, come to the table. So what really unifies us? You know, we talk about all the different, you know, religions. It's the communion. It's the bread and the wine, right? It's what Melchizedek brought to Abraham. So the opportunity exists on September 24th and 26th of this year to proclaim Christ. Because it's ultimately coming down to which God do we serve and does that God have a name? That's, you know, we're getting ready on May 17th to dedicate this nation to God. Which God are we going to be dedicating it to? Mm. And we as Christians have the opportunity to participate in this event. So look it up. Think about it. It's in
put
your
put that in the chat. I've never seen this. Put that in the chat.
Right. It's an ability to come share your faith. Manifest the hands and feet of Christ. Proclaim his name. And I'm going to tell you what. When everybody take the people that come and take communion, is going to be a spiritual arrow that is felt over that local community against the enemy.
Hmm. Hey, Spence, Google for me, how many Christian churches in America? This would be a guess, right? This would be a guess. 350,000 religious congregations. Roughly 330,000 being Christian churches. Roughly 370,000 total religious congregations. And we can't control America. Oh, we can't do that. That would be Christian nationalism. Instead, we get demonic nationalism. How do you say that, Coach? Well, you got to serve somebody. No man can serve two masters. If you're not serving the Lord, you're serving the devil. That's what the Bible teaches. So we have 750,000 churches. I bet it's more than that. And we are powerless to do anything in the government. You say, Coach, the church isn't about politics. No, it isn't about politics. It's about righteousness and holding up a standard. And out of that righteousness and out of that standard comes politics, comes laws, rules, regulations, culture. And that we've let them tell us that we're not a Christian culture anymore. Who do you serve? Adam, come on in.
Hey, Coach, I would just...
Hang on a second, Adam. This is damn good, whether you like it or not. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Coach. I would just say that any church that supports abortion isn't a real church.
It ain't a church. Any right. church that supports homosexuality ain't a real church.
Amen. Because how could you be filled with the Holy Spirit and agree with murder? So I would call them churches of Satan, not really churches of Jesus Christ, though.
Christ hates sin, doesn't he, Adam? Didn't Christ hate sin? Didn't Amen. He die on the cross to destroy sin and the church embraces it? Unbelievable.
Amen.
Randy.
Coach, you remember when the last election or when the Amish were starting to get, they were losing their freedom, you know, to sell their products and their services, and the government was starting wanting to tax them. Well, we started voting, okay? Look, when you get into someone's folding money, you're ready to fight. Like Chad says, when somebody tears down your mailbox, you're going to get in the fight.
You are.
Coach, when this money situation that's coming, this economic fall that's coming, the people, the church, when they lose their folding money and don't have the money for their phone and their entertainment, guess what they're going to do? They're going to wake up, Coach.
Mm-hmm. They're going to wake up. It'll be, as they say, Randy, that will be a rude awakening. Won't that be classified as a rude awakening?
Yeah, isn't that what you're praying for, Coach? Revival?
Yeah.
And how it comes, Coach? Have you not read the Bible? Every time the wicked people finally somebody would do something to change it, and the revival would start, and they'd get back on pace. I mean, it's cyclical. Yep. It is. But yeah, this needs to happen, Coach. It's got to happen.
Got to happen. Dave Allison.
Yeah, good morning, everyone.
Hang on, Dave. Hang on. Hey, okay. Randy, good to hear from you. People thought you were mad at me. I got several emails. Randy, is Randy? Oh, man, I haven't heard from Randy.
I've been sick, Coach. I was gone for 5 days, and then I got really – I had some really bad
– You don't have to apologize, Randy. Explain. I just want you to know that you were missed. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, good morning. Craig Mickle, brother, I love you, but I have an issue. The church has been coming to the table for too long. We need to get up from the table and get in the battle.
Amen.
If you have a come to the battle meeting in D.C., we can probably hold that in your camper, okay? Come to the table. In my opinion, and Craig, and I love you, and listen, we went to the one last year, and don't get me wrong, it wasn't all bad. I think there were some good things happening there. But I'm telling you what.
You're not criticizing Craig. Go ahead.
Right, right. I'm not, and you know what? I don't even want to criticize. I'm going to assume the guy who's putting this together has good intentions, okay? But yet at the same time, Coach, are we not making a mockery of God when we come when we have 200,000 people come and take communion, but we won't have two people stand up for righteousness in the city square?
That's right.
Are we not mocking God when we have 1 million people come and march for life, but we won't have three people stand up in the public square and denounce it? You know what I mean? Yeah, you can see they're out in the street, but I'm just saying, at some point in time, the sitting down at the table having communion, you know, that's pretty easy thing to do at the end of the day. When it comes to actually standing up and doing something and getting to face the enemy and fighting the spiritual battle, that's where the rubber hits the road.
Dave, can I ask a question that's really going to piss everybody off? Yeah, I can. Does anybody out there think that God's a respecter of persons? Anybody think that God favors one man over another man? Does anybody out there realize that the Bible says, whosoever will come, everybody come, whoever come. Whosoever, it's open to anybody. It's open to anybody. Except our Jewish brothers. And they get to come in just because of the way they were born. Does anybody see it? Nobody sees an issue with that? Look, call it anti-Semitism. Call it whatever you want to. If birthright doesn't have to do with anything, are you telling me that God favors one group of people over another? He favors the Israelites over the Melungeons? How can this be? How can this be? Whoever will, come. Whoever. I don't care what your lineage is. I don't care what your birthright is. Oh, except this over here. That these guys, they get in. They just get in because they were born in the right family. They get in because they're born in the right family. You other guys, you're not quite as special as them. When the Bible says that God's no respecter of persons. Good question, Mark. Is Jared Kushner God's man? Well, you better understand this. The Bible raises them up. God raises them up and God sets them down. And sometime God raises them up for judgment. You don't hear that, do you? Hmm? Sometimes God raises up an enforcer. And I don't know. I wish I could figure the whole thing out. I just know this. They're telling us a bunch of damn lies. They're getting rich. They're connected. They're all connected, Republican, Democrat. They're all interconnected. They're all living off of all of us, and we seem helpless to do anything about it. Kevin, come on in. I'm losing all my friends this morning, Kevin.
Well, to be a Semite means you have to be a descendant of Shem. And most of the people that are in Israel right now are not descendants of Shem.
Yep.
So, you know, Coach, you keep asking these questions, and I'm gonna give you this answer. You've taken a group of meek and mealy misfits, us, and motivated us to do something way outside of ourselves, all
Amen.
Of us.
Amen.
You've emboldened us, and that's what a good coach does. A good coach will take somebody and embolden them, encourage them, and motivate them to get outside themselves and do things that they would have never done.
Mm.
And that's what you've done. And I'm not, this is not Pat Coach on the back day. This is truth. This is the way it is. So,
yeah, it is.
I just, you know, I consider what we are, members of the Salt and Light Brigade, to be exceptions to everything else. And what we're seeing with Epstein, with Trump, with you call him a wrecking ball. You know what? He is. And you called it back in 2016 when he was running. You said he's the bouncer that by the door that stuck his foot in the door and said, no, wait a minute, we ain't doing this no more. Why would somebody that has more money than they could ever spend in their lifetime take on the hell that he's done? Just ask yourself that. Why? Unless he wasn't motivated by someone or something to get outside of himself and do something he would have never done.
Kevin, I see people saying he's doing it to get rich. I mean, that makes me want to laugh out loud.
You know, I see stupid people every day driving a truck too. So,
oh Lord.
Anybody else?
Huh? We're all over. Eileen, come on in there. Come on in there quickly, Eileen. Okay, support morning, Eileen Coach. Yes, I haven't done it yet, Eileen. I'm gonna send you some money as soon as I get. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
And keep praying. Yes, thank you. I just listened to this interview today by Lara Logan. She was interviewing Dr. Stella Emanuel, one of the front. Oh, you did?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And she said there's more witchcraft in America than anywhere in the world. There are just two forces in the world, the power of God versus the power of the devil. Human beings don't have any power. Human beings only have authority. And that authority is through Jesus Christ alone.
We have power, no power, but we have authority.
Amen.
Hey, that's something,
like,
huh?
Like the staking, absolutely. Thank you, Coach.
Oh, man, Eileen. Man. Dr. Paul, quickly.
I'm sorry, Coach. You remember you guys followed me for 8 months when I was dealing with the Board of Medicine?
Yep.
I sat there and listened to that crap, and I had your hat on, that the red one, so they could see it. And they you could see that they were livid. They were just so angry that I would bring Christ into their
Amen, brother.
Their witchcraft, Coach.
It is.
Anyway,
it is.
That out. That's what I love the most about that. Thanks Amen. For the hat, bud.
That's why I say everywhere I go, man, it's a divider. It's an identifier and a divider. I wear it everywhere I go. When people look at me, they know where I stand, right? Oh, my goodness. It's good. What a time to be alive, man. Huh? Whole creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of God's people to show up. See you tomorrow.